A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus presented another parable to those who gathered. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who sowed good seed in a field. While everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then made off. When the crop began to mature and yield grain, the weeds became evident as well. The farmer's workers came and asked, "Did you not sow good seed in your field? Where are the weeds coming from?" The farmer replied, "I see an enemy's hand in this." They in turn asked, "Do you want us to go out and pull them up?" "No," replied the farmer. "If you pull up the weeds, you might take the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then at harvest time, I will order the harvesters first to collect the weeds and bundle them up to burn, then to gather the wheat into my barn." Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. The disciples also came in and said, "Explain the parable about the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The farmer sowing the good seed is the chosen one. The field is the world, and the good seed the citizens of the kingdom. The weeds are the followers of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, while the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned, so it will be at the end of the age. The chosen one will send the angels who will weed out the kingdom of everything that causes sin and all who act lawlessly. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But those who are just will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Abba God. Let those who have ears to hear, hear this." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. And pulling it up. Sorry, issue with screens. All right. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours in the triune God. Amen. Well, this one is a doozy. This week, I was reminded by a colleague that Jesus' parables are like abstract art. Too often, we treat them as photographs, though. But the brilliance of abstract art and parables is that they evade literal interpretations. They're complex, and you have to look at them for a long time. You have to stop and contemplate. And often, there's more than one way of seeing things. Take this parable as an example. What was a master doing sowing seed? That never would have happened. If a landowner had servants or workers, they would have been the ones doing this. And many interpreters agree that these workers are being awfully mouthy. They're saying to their boss, "Did you not sow good seed?" They're questioning their master's competency. Perhaps the boss should have left this task to them. Meanwhile, this week, I have been working through a bit of a doozy myself in my own life. I was asked to be on a Texan podcast discussing gender next week. Originally, I said yes. But then, bit by bit, as details have kept falling into place, I've noticed that my stomach is twisting itself into knots. The discussion was going to be more like a debate, as it turns out, with opening statements and rebuttals, and it was going to be with an infamous professor from Houston Baptist who has written extensively on trans and gay people. He's argued for some profoundly harmful things, like not intentionally refusing to use trans people's names and pronouns of choice. we'd basically be using the Bible to debate my identity. And it's not likely that either of us would say anything that the other one of us has not already heard. And it's likely that I would need more than one therapy session to unpack the historical baggage that it would all kick up. I picture it would go something like this. Curtains open. We take our Bibles. We pull them out. We joust with them. And who knows who the winner would be in this game of Bible jousting. It all felt a little unfair for me because this guy is a professor who literally gets to devote all of his life to studying and writing about this stuff, whereas I'm a pastor and my primary work is tending to the care of this community. I'm not fluent in biblical Greek and Hebrew, and I have no aspirations of making Bible jousting into a side hustle. Plus, I've found that whenever you use the Bible to win, everyone loses. And whenever you use the Bible as a weapon, God is the one who gets wounded. But all of that being said, I felt like I needed to do this, like I had to. Because I had already said that I would, and I hate going back on commitments. And because I felt like I needed to defend the wheat from the weeds. I felt like it was my job, my role in this parable, to emphatically prove once and for all that trans people are wheat. We belong in this garden, and all who seek to pluck us out as weeds are doing great harm to us and to the garden. But here's the thing, though. This field, this glorious garden in which we live and move and breathe and have our being, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to us. And the God who knit us together in our mother's wombs already knows that I am not and that you are not a weed. So who am I trying to convince? You know, it's interesting that in Jesus' interpretation of this parable, he tells us who each of the parts belong to. The master is the son of humanity, the field is the world, the reapers are the angels, etc., etc. But the only role that's left unassigned is the servants, the workers. He doesn't tell us who they are. And maybe that's because this is where we enter into the story. Maybe your role in this parable, and my role, is to be these mouthy servants who have just questioned their master's planting skills. Maybe God commands us to refrain from plucking out everything that's evil, but rather to nurture that which is good. God, who watches over our going out and our coming in, sees that God sees the good and the bad and the ugly and the beautiful. And God is unwilling to throw out the good with the bad. God insists on growth over perfection. And this is good news, because life is at least as confusing and ambiguous as this parable is. There are some areas where right and wrong is clear, cut, and easy to determine. Wear a mask when you're indoors and in public spaces. Systemic racism is bad. But there are other areas where right and wrong are blurry and difficult to discern. Do you send your kids back to daycare? Is the pod of people that you're willing to interact with any larger than your family right now? What's the best way to reform policing? Do I debate this guy or not? These are complex matters. The good and the bad, they feel ambiguous here. And that doesn't mean that we get a pass. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't wrestle with these choices and take them seriously. That's our work, We're called to do the best that we can. But it does mean that God graciously disabuses us from the work of judgment. God liberates all the energy that we would spend sussing out who's right and who's wrong, and then reinvests that energy into our growth. The Christian author Barbara Brown Taylor put it this way. She said, "Our God is more interested in growth than perfection." And so God takes all of that energy that we could be squandering on perfection and invests it instead into our growth. Which actions and policies seem to bear fruit? That seems like a central question for me. Due to the Greek word that Jesus uses here for weeds, scholars think that he was probably referring to a plant called darnel, which is common in and around the area where Jesus lived. And it's interesting to me that when they're growing, you can't actually tell the difference between wheat and darnel. They're indistinguishable. The only difference between the two is that ultimately, wheat grows ahead of wheat, and the plant begins to droop under the weight near harvest time, whereas darnel continues to stand straight upright because there's no wheat berry in it. And so another theme emerges here. You can only tell one thing from another by the fruits it bears. And this week I began discerning the lack of fruit emerging from planning to debate this guy. It made me feel like curling up in a ball. It sucked the joy out of me. It took time and attention away from things that give me life and that make me useful to others in the world. It generally had a negative impact on me, not to mention the people around me, like my wife. I found myself trying to destroy my angst, which unsurprisingly also destroyed my joy. So rather than continuing to try and destroy my baggage and fear and force myself to do this thing as if wheat needed defending, instead of that, I sent out an email last night and bowed out of it, saying that I had decided not to do it. Now, did I choose rightly or wrongly? I did my best. I guess we'll see. So I don't know, friends. Like I said in the beginning, this one is a doozy, kind of like our lives. All I know is this. Our work is not to destroy, but to nurture. The field does not belong to us. God chooses growth over perfection. And the evil weeds that we see growing within us and around us cannot overcome the good wheat sprouting forth everywhere. Amen.